What Francis Chan are you watching?
What's that?
What Francis Chan?
Well,
I'm not going to be here. That's a good choice. That's a good choice. So, just curious. All right. So I'm going to give you some direction on where we're going this morning so that everybody knows exactly where we're going and what we're going to do. Do we still have that little handheld microphone? You don't have a handheld microphone. But we're going to use it, and we're going to use you guys here in just a little bit. You don't got to sing. You don't got to sing. You're just going to help us answer some questions. You're gonna help us describe some things to us, okay? No, not colors. So here's what we're gonna do. We're talking about love this morning. We're talking about a different kind of love. We've been talking about love versus love, Jesus' love, what that looks like, and what we're supposed to be doing, and then love, because the world is full of love. I mean, there's all kinds of love out there, but our love has to be and should be somewhat different. It's got to stand out. It's got to be unusual. It's got to be unique. And so the scripture tells us very clearly about our love standing out, shining out, and it's attractive even to the world that has so much love. But here is our love that catches their eye, that's attractive. So we're going to be talking about that love in the church. Now, we've been talking a lot about sharing our love with the community, but today we're talking about the love right here in this room, okay? Just between us, and how powerful that is and how unique it is. And here's the two points for this morning. If you want an outline, number one, in this room, this unique love of Christ that we're going to see, it's essential to our ministry. It's essential to our ministry. That's point number one. And point number two is it's very different. It's very unique in our family. It's very different here in our family than in out there in those families. So it's unique and it's essential. So number one, the passage this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Surprise, surprise, the great love chapter. You've all known this chapter. Many of you are aware of this chapter, the great love chapter of the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 is all we're going to talk about briefly. When I get to the second part, when I get to love that is different, the kids, these kids, and you don't have to, but if you want to, I'm going to ask you for some definitions. What does this mean to you? And you can have a chance to share with us what that looks like to you, okay? So that's where you're going to help me. First part is that our love is essential in the church ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, let's read them, and I will show you exactly what I mean. This love is essential. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Point number one. Love is essential to church ministry. Now, I will tell you, these first two or three verses here are hypothetical. You can go into the original languages. You can go back into the scriptures And know that Paul's saying, if I talk with the tongues of men and of angels, and he didn't, but he said, if I could, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had prophetic powers and understand all mystery, he didn't, but if he could, and if he had all faith as to remove mountains and had not love, he's nothing. So let's just quickly look at this. Number one, he says, if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels and had not love. If the speaking ministry of the church, if what we say and what we do, our teaching, our singing, whatever it is we speak in our ministry here at church, if you could speak and teach in any language of man and of angels, which, and we don't even know what that is, but if that were possible, if I could communicate at such a level, if your pastor was a good pastor instead of a kind of a hillbilly preacher, if we could sing like the Brooklyn Tabernacle, I mean, if we could just, if we had, if our singing and our preaching and our teaching and our encouraging, and we could just, we just had this eloquence and have not love, we're just a loud noise. Our speaking ministry, our verbal ministry is just noise without this love. Your encouragement to one another, your praise to the Lord. If this room doesn't have hearts full of God's love, that becomes noise. It's worthless. Secondly, he says, if I had these prophetic powers and this understanding and this, he's saying, man, if I had this little hotline to God and prophecy and looking down the road and warning people and understanding, I mean, if you just had this unique kind of a brilliant insight before the Lord, and there's somehow you just get things that people don't get, and you just see things that people just don't see, and you can kind of lay it out into our lives like nobody. I mean, you just have this connection, but you don't have this love. You're nothing. You're nothing. It means nothing if you don't have God's love. Agape love. This love of God. This particular love. You can be amazing with your understanding of Scripture. You can be amazing with how you can break it down. You can be amazing how you apply it to other people's lives. I've got a Scripture for you. Oh, I've got a Scripture for you. You can kind of look behind the curtain and see things that other people don't see. And if you don't have love, you're nothing. You're nothing. It amounts to nothing. And thirdly, in the church, though you give away everything you own and even sacrifice your own body to be burned, and if you don't have love, that was all a waste. That was all a waste. What's it say? If I give away everything I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing. This love is essential to this family of believers, this community of believers, because we give away a lot. We love to serve our community. We love to serve each other. We love to serve here. We love to give. We love to bring in crock pots of chili, and now we've got the community doing it, and they're even winning second place. We love to help. We love to bring in clothes. We love to send cards. We love to give. We're just becoming this giving church. And he says we have to have, it's essential that behind all our giving and our serving is the love of Christ in us. It's essential. If you want to know why I say this is for the body, it's in chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, and then he ends up saying, and I will show you a more excellent way. So he's talking about now in the church. If someone comes in here and you are less than brilliant, less than eloquent, and you can only give just a little tiny bit, but you have love, you have the love of Christ, you're going to be far ahead of those eloquent, brilliant, prophetic people who bring in wheelbarrow loads of things and money and just seem to always be giving us stuff, but have not love. That'll get you nowhere. It's so critical that we have this love. It's essential. Part number two. This love is different. Our love has to be different. The love that we have has to be different. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This is where the kids are going to help me. See, it says in verse 4 that our love, this love of Christ is patient. I lost a bunch of us right there. This love is patient and kind. Doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It certainly doesn't rejoice when the wrong thing was done, even though you got back at that other person. It rejoices with truth. There's a passage of Scripture that I think is just the opposite of this. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and I hope you have your Bible. So I want to read this passage, and I want you to see this is the exact opposite of 1 Corinthians 13, 4, 5, and 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is the opposite. Whereas 1 Corinthians 13 says it's patient and kind, says it's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Listen to what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. But understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable. You won't be able to please them. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, all the while, listen to this, having the appearance of godliness. They'll be in the church. They'll be hanging around the church. But denying its power, avoid such people. So in the last days, those that have an appearance of godliness will be just the opposite of these people in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians says it doesn't envy or boast, but these people will be arrogant and proud. They'll speak right out. They'll be slanderous. 1 Corinthians 13 says they won't be arrogant or rude. 2 Timothy says they will be arrogant and rude. They won't insist on their way. This says it's all about them. And there's an appearance of godliness at the same time. So this love that we have has to be different even from among ourselves, because there's an element of godly kind of churchy kind of people. There's an element of that that is just the opposite of God's love. We have to have this different kind of love that is patient and kind. It doesn't envy or brag, and it's not arrogant. Now, kids, here we go. Kids, you're going to help us with some definitions. And I've got a microphone here that I want you to help me with. So, our scripture says that real love is patient and kind. Who do you know that's patient and kind? Can you think of anybody who's patient and kind?
My mom.
Your mom is patient and kind. That's awesome. And she makes a mean pot of chili.
My grandma.
Your grandma's patient and kind. Do you love your grandma? She's pretty special, isn't she? All right. So there you go. A mom and a grandma are patient and kind. And that's how we have to be. Here's a little harder one. Love does not envy. Do you know what envy means? Does not envy or brag. Do you know what either one of those mean? What's it mean to brag? If you're bragging or boasting? Simon knows. We are going back to Simon. Simon, what's it mean to brag?
Like being like, if like they have cooler stuff and the other person really has cooler.
And you talk about it. You go, my stuff's cooler than yours. That's bragging. That's boasting. Yeah, Landon, what's envy or bragging mean?
So when someone wins, then they can kind of like brag at you because they won.
Like if somebody wins the chili cook-off and they really rub it in, that's bragging, isn't it? That's boastful. That's right. He said it. That's a good job. That's a good job, Landon. All right, buddy, I'm with you. Here's a hard one. Arrogant or rude? Who do you think of? What's arrogant or rude? What's that mean? Arrogant or somebody's rude to you? How do you feel when somebody's rude to you?
Really bad, because, yeah.
Yeah. It's not like kind. You're supposed to be kind, but rude's like the opposite. How are people rude? Are people ever rude to you at school? They are? How are they rude? What do they do?
I used to be friends with this one girl, and she has my phone number. And one day she was sending me like really mean texts, and then behind my back she called me a really mean name.
Behind your back called you a really mean name. They're rude to you. They just don't treat you with respect and niceness, do they? They're not kind. They're rude. They don't care that they hurt your feelings. Matter of fact, they may be trying to hurt your feelings. They may be saying stuff. It says it doesn't insist on its own way. Have you ever done that? Have you ever insisted on your own way? Yeah, adults do it too. We do it too. So don't feel like you're the only ones that ever want your own way. We do it too. It's not irritable or resentful. How do you like it when someone's irritable? What's that mean when someone's irritable? Grouchy? Like the Grinch? Do you like grouchy people? Do you want to be around grouchy people? You don't. So if we're grouchy, you're probably not going to want to be around us, right? Who's grouchy, Landon?
My dad.
Your dad's... Okay. Dads can be grouchy sometimes. Dads can be grouchy sometimes. Grouchy is not cool. Grouchy is not fun. They don't like it. Yeah.
My brother can be really grouchy sometimes.
Your brother can be grouchy. He's a little guy, right? Okay, they scream, they get grouchy, they're irritable. That's not love. You know, you guys did a good job. You said it better than I could say it. And the world is. In the last days, the world will be. The world will be rude and arrogant and irritable and grouchy. It says they'll be unappeasable. You won't be able to please them. They're never happy. I say they drink from wells and they're still thirsty. They just keep drinking from dry wells and they never satisfy their thirst. And they're grouchy. They're irritable. You can't please them. They want more and more and more. You and I have to be satisfied. Now, here's what the scripture says, and this is, I'm going to break this down a little bit for you. It makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. That's got to be our love. 2 Timothy said that in the last days, these kind of people that appear godly will bring about difficult times. There will be difficult times. There is going to be hard times, and them hard times are going to be in the church. Is there anybody here that you don't have hard times anymore? You don't have difficult situations or hard times? No, they're going to multiply. It's going to be difficult. Life gets difficult. People in 2 Timothy, they respond one way because of the difficulty of it. People in the church with this unique, different kind of love respond a different way to difficult times. It says that we bear all things. We bear all things in the church. There are so many difficult times and difficult situations. And when your friend says mean texts to you, or your mom or your dad is grouchy, I mean, those are difficult times. And we bear all things in the church. Now, this is a really cool word. This is a really cool thing right here. Because in 2 Timothy, it says you wouldn't bear all things. It said you'd respond with arrogance or rudeness or wanting your own way. You will seek your own pleasure. But in the church, we bear all things. We bear difficulties, even amongst ourselves. This word is cool, this bearing. It's the word stego, and this is where it came from. This is a weird word. It came from that you put a roof over your house. You put a thatched roof or a tile roof over your house. It means it's storming outside and you've got a roof now. And you're able to bear this situation, these things that are coming. And in the church, our love, rather than getting arrogant and rude and irritable and nasty and self-seeking, we put a roof on it. Because we have this love, you and I shelter each other. You and I care for each other. When difficult times come, we help, we shelter, we put a roof on. You having a difficult time? We bear all things. We put a roof on it. We shelter it. We help each other shelter hard times, difficult times. can't be there for everything. You can't be all places at all times. You can't be all things to all people. But that's our nature. That's what we do here. Someone comes in here, and rather seeing us get irritable and nasty and snippy and self-serving with one another, we help put a roof on it. I'm going to help you. Come on, you can do this. We shelter with each other. That's a pretty cool word. We bear all things, everything, whatever you're going through. There's cancer. There's divorce. There's all kinds of things that were difficult for us that we need shelter. We need friends. We need family that help us. They don't blow the roof off of it. We shelter it. We put a roof on it. We support. We encourage. It says that true love in the church, you believe all things. And we're talking about circumstances here. You believe that all things work together for good to them that know the Lord. You believe in all circumstances, all things work together. You believe there are no difficulties. There are no circumstances that you don't believe in. God's working in this. God's working in this. I believe God's working in this. There is nothing where you go, oh, I don't know what we did. I don't know where God's at. He threw us out in the alley. No, you don't do that. You believe on all things. There's God's in this. God's in this. God's with you. God's in this. I believe. I believe. I believe. And you never give up faith. You never give up trust. God's in it. You're going through a difficult time. I believe. I believe God's there with you. I believe God's in it. It says they hope all things. You never lose hope. You hope all things. Whatever this is you're going through, I have hope for you in this. I hope all things. I expect this to turn out for your good. Talking to Dave Peel the other day, and Casey and I went over and visited Dave, and man, I don't know. You know that cancer, I'm just about sick of it by now. Maybe you are too. It's probably get me someday, but you know, I look at a man who's active and there he is, you know, he's got the cancer. And you know, I told Dave, I said, Dave, let me share this with you. With Christ, if Christ is in this with you, if you have him and you have a good relationship with you, let me tell you this, this is a win-win situation for you. Because if you win and you beat this cancer, that's a win. If you beat the cancer, that's a win. And if the cancer beats you and you're in Christ, that's a win. You're going there, that's a win. You see, you talk honest to people, right? You talk straight up to people. In Christ, I expect, my hope, I know for you, this is a win-win, Dave. I have hope for you in Christ. Here's my love for you, Dave. In Christ, you don't lose. In all things, this cancer wants to take your life. It wants to kill you. I'm going to tell you there's hope because there's win-win in Christ. Whatever it is, we don't lose hope. We have hope in all things. Hey, Janine, Donna, we're going to pull the plug on your daughter here in a few minutes, and she'll probably pass away in an hour. She was at your chili supper Friday. Because we didn't give up hope. There's hope in all things. You can't tell me somebody's going to take somebody's life because there's hope in any situation. There is hope in any situation, in any job loss, financial situation, marriage situation, health. I never lose hope in Christ. My love for you says if you're in Christ, there's hope. If kids talk mean at you, there's hope. There's hope. Don't you give up faith in the Lord. You trust the Lord in Him. You win. You will win. You hang in there. Your dad gets grumpy. Your mom gets grumpy. You get grounded. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope in Christ. That's our love here. We never give up. We never stop believing. We never stop believing in Christ. There's hope. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And we're going to shelter. We're going to shelter. I'm going to help you keep the rain off. I'm going to do everything I can to help keep the rain off. Our love, it says, endures all things. That sounds like bears all things, but it's different. Because there's some of us who are just plain, the circumstances are going to be kicking us in the shins. I can't take the cancer away from Dave. I can't take the pain away from what you're going through. We're going to endure it. The circumstance is going to be difficult. There are going to be difficult circumstances in us, in this room, in the church. I love this because it's real. The church is not perfect. The church is not sterile. There are problems. There are difficult circumstances. And there are times we're going to shelter each other. We're going to believe. We're going to hope. And we're still going to have to endure all things. We're still going to endure because we love with the love of Christ. And we know that He endured the cross for the hope that was set before Him. Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, who for the hope that was set before Him endured the cross. We endure. It's because we love. It's not because we have such great inner character and strength. It's because we love. It's because we love God and we love each other. Oh, we're not perfect here. Just because you come to church here doesn't mean all your problems go away. It says in the end times there will come times of great difficulty, and even those who appear to be godly will be just absolutely pathetic. But our love will stand out. The love that we have will be different. Different. So, a couple of take-homes and we'll let you go home. Life in the family still requires love. This unique agape love. 1 John says that by this we know love, that Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the others. He says, how is it that if you see your brother in need and you close your heart to him, how is it that the love of God lives in you? You've closed your heart to him. That's a key phrase. That's a key phrase. How is it that you're able to close your heart and see the love of Christ on the cross at the same time? That's key for us. We still need to open our hearts in the church. And our hearts, some of our hearts have been beat on a little bit. There's been difficult times with resentful, rude, irritable people, and I'd like to just close my heart to you and protect myself. But I can't. How is it that you close your heart and you say the love of God lives in you? Open your heart. Open your heart. We still need love in the church. Open your heart to one another. Shelter one another. Endure. Endure. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get dirt thrown on you. But if we pull together in it, We're going to still keep believing. We're going to still keep trusting. We're going to still keep sheltering. We're going to endure together. But we still have to open our heart to one another. I have to open my heart to you and love you in my ministry. And so do you. Because my ministry means nothing if I close my heart and I just have a job that I do on Sunday morning and I don't love you. Here's my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, church. Here's my heart. I know. You've been on the phone. You've been talking about me. You've been running me down. You've been filling the chili ballot box with the wrong vote. I know. You threw me under the rug. I know. Here's my heart. I still love you. I still love you. I care about you. Ain't no amount of dirt you can throw at me. I love you. The love of Christ. Open your heart. Keep your heart open. Keep your heart open. It's the essential of my ministry and yours. People know right away if your heart's closed. You know what these kids right here know right away. They know fake love from real love. They know if you're just being irritable and you really don't care about them, they know. They know who loves them and who cares about them. Some of you get hugs and laughs and giggles regularly because they know. They're looking right through you into your heart. They know whose heart's open and who's not. They're unfiltered. They just see it. It's essential that our heart is open for one another in our ministry. If there's one thing that'll hold this church together, it's that love. It's that open-hearted love in any circumstances. You know this. I don't have to tell you this. The biggest thing that happens in the church in America today is that this little posse of people get up and leave that church and go to that church. And then they get up and leave that church and they go to that church. And there's just this migration continually going on. I've done it. You've done it. And so many times people come into churches and what happens? What happens? Somebody sat in your pew where you always sit? What? There's no way I will. They're going before the board. Somebody didn't say hi to you this morning? Are you kidding me? Now, let me guess, the pastor was preaching some really off-the-planet doctrine. He's left the building. No, not that. What happened? Oh, you got a coffee pot in the side room, and that should never be. I'm going to another church. And we migrate. We migrate. And do you know why you will stay? Because you love. You're invested and your heart is open to these people sitting around you. And it's not that you love this and that and that. I mean, that's cool. We do love that. But it's the glue that holds a body of people together in all circumstances is your love, that your heart is open and you're invested in one another. And I promise you, if you close your heart, you'll migrate. You'll eventually migrate. Because it's your love that holds us together in all circumstances. That's what he's saying. And it's our love. It's our love of Christ. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus said, it said right there in the Gospels, that he knew the hearts of men. He understood the hearts of men. Those who were cheering him today would be crucifying him tomorrow. He knew the hearts of men. He walked with this group of 12 and knew one of them would kiss him on the cheek and turn him in to be crucified. And he died for this ragtag bunch of people we now call the church. And it's that love that now comes to us. It's been handed off to us to say, look, you know each other. You know that nobody in this room's perfect. You know there come difficult times in here because there's going to be people who look godly and they're really not. And there's just going to be hard times that we're going to go through. But your heart's still open. And you love each other. You love each other here. And by that love, all men will know you are his disciples. How many times are you going to get hurt by that person? How many times are you going to let them talk to you that way? How long are you going to stay at that stupid church down there? I love those people. And yeah, there's a few irritable, goofy ones down there. But the love of Christ, the love of Christ is in me. And my heart's still open. And I love those people. I'm invested. I want to see them grow. I want to see them go beyond that. I want to shelter them. I believe. I hope. I've not given up hope. And this body of believers right here is amazing. And I'm going to make a difference. And I'm not going to close my heart off. And by that love, all men will know you're Jesus' disciple, aren't you? You follow this Jesus guy who died on the cross for those very people. He hung on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. May they come to me. And may they be that centurion who looks on and says, surely this is the Son of God. And surely you are his disciples. That's the different love that we have to have. I like it in 1 Corinthians 14:1. He says, pursue love. This is worth pursuing. You might not have all of it right now. I don't. But I'm pursuing it. I'm pursuing this love. This is what I want. This is the guy I want to be. This is the lady my wife wants to be. This is the lady and the guy some of you want to be. This is who we want these kids to be. We need to pursue this love. Oh, you may be brilliant. You may be eloquent. And you may be sacrificial. But without this, zeros. It's a shutout. You don't score. You're nothing. By this, everyone will know Cornerstone Christian Fellowship. They follow Jesus. They follow Jesus. And I think people are starting to see that. I really, really do. Because you show your love for our community, every chance they come in our doors and in our lawn and in our church, you show the love of Christ. And you shelter. And you believe. And you endure. Pursue it. Keep going. You're not there yet. We've got a long way to go. But we're on the right track. We're on the right track. Don't let anybody stop you. Never close your heart. Never close your heart. Keep going. Keep going. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this room full of believers, this family of believers. We love you, Lord. Keep our heart open. May your spirit so fill us that our heart remains open, that this beautiful, unique, essential love is on full display. Help us pursue it. Help us pursue the true, real love of Jesus Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a song? We're going to close this with a song.